Welcome back, and I trust you didn't touch the dial wherever you are. Then we're still on Ask the Pastor. Definitely, we've not forgotten there's a question we're about to answer before we went on the short break. So we'll go back to that question, which is from France. And Sister Joy Akitewa from France says, Shalom to you, Pastor Moses Ragotin, and the entire Bright TV crew. We also say Shalom to you. Please, I want to know the meaning of idols of heart. Kindly give me more explanation on this, sir, because in one of the dreams I had, and I saw something wrote that was written on the sky as idols of my heart. So I asked, what is the meaning? And I was told that if I want to make rapture, I need to work on idols of my heart so that I will not miss the rapture. Thanks, I remain rapturable in Jesus' name. Sister Joy from France.
No, no, the idol of the heart are those things that are so dear to you that you can't let go for the sake of the gospel. It's the idol of the heart. So dear to you, you can't let go even for the sake of the gospel. One of them is fashion. One of them is the love of money and materialism. And any other thing that you can't let go. You know, say, what shall it profit a man? You gain the whole world and lose your soul. So anything that goes contrary, yet you cannot leave it. No matter how Abraham loved his family, the Lord said he should leave. He must leave. God bless you.
God bless you, Sister Joy. So you have it there, anything that won't allow you, or you love more than even the word of God.
Including those jewelries, including fashion, yeah. You know, the way you want to appear, means so much to you, you can't let go. It's an idol of the heart. God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Sister Joy. So let's have the questions. Okay, we have another one from Brother Eliud from Kenya. Says, Shalom, sons of Issachar. Shalom. My question are, sir, one, according to Mark chapter 10 verse 51, this man was healed from blindness. Does it mean he used to see before? Reason, he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Do we read
He's
that?
Entitled to see. Well, depends on the usage. I don't know, but what's the relevant? Why are you, why is that of concern?
I'm probably a teacher of the word trying to
give us specific. Because sometimes where we lay our emphasis in Bible study are really have no direct bearing with our spiritual one. What scripture did he quote?
Mark chapter 10, verse 51. But I can start from verse 48.
Yes.
Or 47, rather. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he cast away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way.
So certainly, you are either born blind or blindness came as an infirmity in the course of your life. So it's either of them. You want to know which of them? If he was born blind, the scripture will have written that he was born blind. And if he was born blind, he will not be craving for sight. Because he will have known no difference anyway. But that is crying for his sight, it means he needed restoration of his sight. So it means something must have happened along the line. Well, I don't know how important it is for us in Bible study.
All right, God bless you. We have other questions coming in. Okay, Steve, yes, that same person. There was a second question. Question two. Sir, why was obedience left out among the nine fruits of the Spirit? I believe this is an important key for a child of God.
In the nine fruit of the Spirit, all of them constitute obedience, their commandments.
Amen.
When you obey, when you exhibit any of those fruit of the Spirit, they all together constitute obedience. Obedience is your ability to yield yourself to produce it, so it cannot be separate from it.
Yeah.
Totally, your ability to yield yourself for these fruits to manifest is obedience. So, again, I don't know why you're going to that.
Also, you can't even look at it as a fruit of the Spirit, because even if somebody who is involved in the works of the flesh is obedience to
it's
that,
obedience.
So it's a tool that brings whichever you
You're obeying the Spirit of God, or you're obeying your flesh.
Amen. All right, so that is clear. Question three from the same brother says, okay, sir, is Micah chapter 4 verse 1 to 13, okay, in Micah chapter 4 verse 1 to 13, is he talking about the 1,000 years we shall rule with Christ?
What
is the 1,000 years? Is he talking about the 1,000 years
exactly,
we shall rule
that's
with
the
Christ?
Millennium, yes.
Okay, so that answers the question. Brother Eliud from Kenya, God bless you. They come from the east and the west, truly.
Yes.
All right, shalom, sir. I have some few questions to ask. And question one, after the death of senior prophet TB Joshua, many people came out to say, I saw it. God showed me. God told me that a popular and great man of God will die. None of them mentioned the name of the man of God. A popular man of God could be any of the fathers of faith. My question is, why didn't they make it public when the person is alive? Why making it public after his death? Because you consider it personal revelation. Okay.
Okay, the first question, why?
Yeah, why didn't they make it public then?
Well, you should ask them, because I didn't say anything. I think that question should not be directed to me.
Okay.
Maybe wherever you hear it, forward your question to them.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes I agree with you too that if you are sure of your revelation and the message is given to you like that, there's always a reason why God gives it. And so I want you to note, we are also very careful that when you mention that the Lord told you that somebody will die, in this present state of the world, they can come after you when he dies.
Yeah.
They can come and say, you plan to kill him, and you killed him.
Yeah.
So usually they will just give a description in a way that they can escape and say, but I didn't call him in. But when it happened, everybody will know that was the revelation.
Yeah.
And some revelations are given for prayers.
Yeah.
Some are given for information to let you know that he'll be calling somebody home, or somebody will soon exist no more. And no matter how you pray, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you have a revelation that the prophet had concerning Hezekiah, sometimes you should go and tell the person. In fact, always find a means of passing the message to the person to know that this is what the Lord is speaking concerning, and leave the person with God to sort it out while you two back him up. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. Question two from the same person says, why are some gifted people marketing themselves instead of allowing God to use them according to how he wants to?
I don't know why you ask it. What's the next question?
The next question.
Me too, I don't know why.
The next question is about social media trend of ministry. Everyone now is doing everything possible to become a minister through social media. I begin to wonder, what is the mindset about it? Is it about the money they get from social media, e.g. Facebook, YouTube, and so on? Or is it about fame for selfish interest? Please educate me more, Zabrahima from Greece.
Well, you are only making an observation about a trending thing.
Yeah.
So, just like everybody going to the ministry, it doesn't have to be through social media.
True.
Ministry is ministry wherever you set it up. God will judge us for the motives. And so, it's between them and who they claim they are serving.
Uh-huh.
So, everyone shall give account of himself, the Bible
Amen.
Says so. And we should
Amen.
Take heed how we build upon what was given to us. Apostle Paul says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So, God will judge us accordingly. God bless you.
Amen. And God bless you. All right. Okay, we have this from Peter from Jos saying, shalom, Pastor. After 1,000 years rule with Christ, Okay, well,
what will be the fate of
the sinners?
What after the
1,000 years?
The answer is in Revelation chapter 20.
Okay.
Their agenda continues from verse 7.
Okay. From verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired.
That's the question. After the 1,000 years.
Satan shall be loosed out of his prison.
Uh-huh.
And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, mm-hmm. and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
And verse 15?
Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Is the answer now? God definitely, bless you.
Definitely. All very clear and straight up.
God bless you.
That's
the answer. Yes.
All right. God bless you. So we still have questions coming in. Brother John from Niger State. Shalom and God bless you.
Yeah. I just want to ask you what we do. Judgment on the believer, also called the Christian, that are attacking the destiny of their brethren or the core of their brethren. What is going to be their judge? I mean, or how God is, I mean, how is God is supported in this?
Sorry, what will be the judgment of Christians?
Okay, probably we miss Brother John. Then Brother John, you could call back later, but Peter could get, he was talking about Christians attacking other Christians' destiny. What would be
no, elect cannot attack like elect. It is test.
Except supposed Christians.
It is test that attack the wheat. What will be the effect? There shall be separation. And those tests will be thrown to hell. That is what we see in Matthew 13, parable of the tares from verse 24. There will be separation. Yeah, certainly there will be separation. God bless
you. All right, we have this from Apabio. Apabio from Kaduna State. Says, good evening, Pastor. Please, I want to know more about Cain. The Bible told us that after killing his brother, God cursed him and he departed from the family to unknown destination.
We have answered this question before. He married his brother.
We've answered it several times.
One of the half-sisters.
Yes.
He married one of the daughters of Adam.
God bless you. So, okay, Sister Gisele from Cameroon says, Shalom, brother. I was faced with a Catholic sister who told me she was not allowed to take classes in preparation for baptism, and she cannot take communion because her bride price has not been paid. Coming back to us as Christians, is it right to take communion or even give offering in that condition? I wish to be better clarified on that, Sister Gisele from Cameroon.
Well, that is Catholic religion.
Yeah.
We are here to answer question relating to Christians, not Catholics. Catholics is a complete religion of itself, and they have their own way of worshiping God. We are here to deal with Christians, not Catholics. Now, your question actually is, can a couple that is married without bride price take communion? No Christian will call somebody's wife when you have not paid the bride price. So the emphasis is not about coming to take communion. a God called man, a true pastor, will get them to correct that. If they did that before coming to Christ, they have to be taught that she's not your wife until you have paid the bride price. So, but if for any reason you are living in that error, you know, go back and do the right thing, correct it. And it's very easy to correct. So if they refuse to correct it, then you now know that they want to live in sin. And then you stop them from coming to church, not only communion. If to come to church at all, you disfellowship them, because there will be a bad example of the Christian setting.
All right, God bless you, Sister Gisele from Cameroon. All right, we have other questions coming in. And this is from Brother Saka. Osaka from Delta State. Brother Saka, God bless you. You can go on with your question.
Hello, shalom.
Shalom and God bless you. You can go on with your question.
Okay. My question is it for a fellow minister to condemn another fellow minister? Because we see it on the pulpit whereby another minister of God, a preacher, a pastor, maybe has made a mistake. And another fellow minister will preach about that mistake of that fellow minister, what he has done.
Okay, now, so whether it's wrong.
No, I want...
It is proper, because I know in ministry that we are our brother's keeper. In ministry, we have to compliment one another. When a brother has a fault, why not call him privately and correct him and pray for him, rather than coming to the pulpit to pull him down before people and condemn what he has done in case he has made a mistake? This is something I discovered that is very common among ministers of God. But in other they cover one another and they guide one another.
Our brother, the Bible tells us we have to balance it, brother. We have to balance it. Can you hear me, Brother Saka?
I can hear you.
Very good. Now, we have to balance the way you look at it. Yes, it is wrong to openly condemn someone. But we must place these things right. The Bible gives room that the elders can be rebuked openly. An elder can be rebuked openly. Are you aware of that scripture?
Yes.
Okay, you are aware. Okay. So why did the Bible say you should rebuke openly? He said that others may learn. Correct?
Yes.
So that you don't continually wait until when they commit, you bring the person, you know, under closed doors and rebuke him. Another one again, you know, somebody may do the same thing again. You bring that person again and do that. I mean, you can imagine what it is. But if you use one case as an example and rebuke him, others will learn and know that that thing is wrong. That is why the Bible allows it. Now, secondly, there is the body of Christ generally. Now, there is also the local church that you belong to. Now, in these days of social media, where people, whatever is going on is broadcast out. And then you notice that somebody is involved in an error, and he comes openly through the social media, through the television, whatever means, and justifies it. Now you know that he's spreading something in the body of Christ, because people who follow him will begin to imbibe that and follow that example. Now you will not reply such a person by calling him privately, because when you correct him, is he going to come on air and reverse that thing and the effect he has created? So you too, you will go to the same social media and condemn that thing to reverse it so that the children of God will not be misled. That's why I say we must place it in proper perspective. God bless you, Brother Saka.
I believe that answers the question. Proverbs 27 verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So, Brother Saka, that actually answers the question. The pastor has actually made it very plain. And the answer is very balanced. All right, we have another question. Brother Gilbert from Cameroon. Shalom, sir. My question is this. Is there any scripture to support why the gospel is so fertile in Africa? Because what I noticed is that most of the great men of God in this end time and most of the mega churches are in Africa. So is there any scripture to support why the grace of God or why the gospel is so fertile in Africa?
Scripture to support it. I can only use Israel as an example. The gospel came to Israel and they rejected it. So he will go to where he will be accepted. The gospel has been rejected by the Western world because of science. Even churches are now being sold out, turned to mosques and nightclubs. They have no time for God anymore because all that they need is provided for themselves there. So they don't need God. But here in Africa, we need God. So we accepted him, and therefore he will be with us and he will move among us. I don't know which scripture you want other than that.
All right, God bless you. Believe that should be Brian Gibbons from Cameroon. I trust this gives an answer. Okay, we have another question from Benue State. And this is from Brother Kelechi. Brother Kelechi from Benue State says, Shalom, sir. Sir, please can a prophetess, a woman in the church, dedicate a child in the church of God? I mean a child that the parents brought for dedication in the church. So can a prophetess that is worshipping in that church do the dedication?
That is the work of the fivefold ministry, the leadership of the church, the pastoral office. So a woman cannot play that role. I mean, that's usurping authority. Okay. It's not for that woman.
Okay. Rakelich, I believe you got the answer to your question. A woman can't play that role because she's not part of the fivefold ministry.
Let's go back to Saka's question. You know, sometimes we don't give scripture that it's a Bible study. Okay. 1 Timothy 5:20. Let's just quickly establish that, please.
Okay, 1 Timothy 5:20 says, them that sin rebuke before all, and others also may fear.
Again.
Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear.
That others also may fear. Yes. You see? And there's another scripture that the spiritual man judgeth all things, so that you won't say we are not, we should not judge. The scripture again, the spiritual man. Read it.
Say, but he that is spiritual.
Now that is where I am going.
Judgeth all things.
You see?
He himself is judged of no man.
Again.
But he that is spiritual judgeth all
things. He will judge all things.
Yet he himself is judged of no
because man. You cannot be guilty of something and then you are condemning others. So I just wanted to put scripture to it because some may not understand it. Of course, again, Romans chapter 14 is important because we must balance these scriptures up. You know, in Romans chapter 14, he says, verse 10. Yes.
But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
So but now verse 13.
Verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
So these are the kind of scriptures. And then I think Matthew chapter 7 also mentioned something like that. Verse 1.
Matthew 7 verse 1 says, judge not that ye be not judged. Uh-huh. For with what judgment ye judge, uh-huh, ye shall be judged. Uh-huh. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again.
Then, so he now added verse 3. This is where the judgment is.
And why beholdest thou the mute that is in thy brother's eye?
Yes.
For considerest not the beam that is in thy
eye. So we have to balance this. You know, we have to balance this. That is why I gave all that explanation. We must balance this up. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. God bless you, brother. Okay, we have a caller. Brother Sunday from Anambra is calling. I believe it's probably the same Brother Sunday. Brother Sunday,
okay, God bless you. Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
My question is in the book of Zechariah chapter 1 verse 18.
Okay, Zechariah, let's open it.
Go on, sir, we're with you.
Then I looked up, and there before me were four horns. Then I asked the angel who was speaking to me, what are these horns? Then still are four craftsmen that destroyed Judah, Israel and Jerusalem. So I want to understand the speech of the mission of these four horns and the four craftsmen.
Okay, let me explain this to you. Remember, if you read it from verse 16.
Okay, sir.
Now, it says, therefore, thus said the Lord, I am returned. Note the word return. I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, said the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Then verse 17, he said, cry yet, saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Now note it, verse 18. Then lifted I up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. Four horns. Now your question is, what are these four horns? He answered them, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem.
Okay.
What are these four horns? Is that your question?
Yeah.
They are those armies of Joel. Go to Joel chapter 2.
Joel,
the book of Joel, chapter 2, is this is the way the prophet Joel put it from verse 25.
Joel chapter 2 from verse 25 says, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts had eaten.
Locust.
The cankerworm. And the caterpillar. And the palmer worm. My great army which I sent among you.
They are the four horns. The horn is power. Mm. And it's talking about the Babylonian Empire. Yeah. It's talking about the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire that he always used to scatter Israel, stand in disobey, but he will still restore them. They are the four horns.
Mm. Okay, sir.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you, Brother Sunday. Okay, back to the question from Rachel. I believe Sister Rachel, from who is watching us on YouTube right now. Says, Shalom, my concern is about the short dresses doing service. When the sensation comes, they are covered with a piece of clothes on the floor. Why not wear long ones in the end-time message church?
Abio, my sister, thank you. Call the microphone, Abed, and tell them.
Please, Pastor, you need to know if this
is it
correct or if not. Why not preach about that?
We've been fighting it. Mm-hmm. But somehow, they will still smuggle and enter. They will pass the gate. We wouldn't even allow such to come through the gate. But sometimes they smuggle and they come in. Or even when you give them something to cover,
they come in and they
remove it. When they come in, they will remove it until the anointing will come upon them. And we cannot say we should not cover them. We should allow them to defy the place with their nakedness. But we are working on it. Each time it happens, we call the person by the side later and tell the person it is wrong to dress like that. And some of them take correction. Some will even drive permanently out of the church. It's part of the battle we face in a mixed multitude like this until Christ comes to take us home. No church is perfect without it. This wheat and tares will always be there. But we are battling with them. They are there to spoil our testimony. We will continue to identify them and deal with them. We'll be working on that recently. We're taking that very seriously. And very soon, you will soon, you will see them no more. I hope so. God bless you, my sister.
All right. God bless you. Can we have this? Come in and say, God bless you, sir. You are indeed my father. Without hearing your messages, it looks as if I'm missing something. You are my eye-opener in the word of God. But daddy, I used to see myself doing deliverance to people in dream. Always. What does that mean? And what can I do to restore my gift of hearing of voice? That is messages and vision. This is Chika from Niger State.
It's prayers. Go back to where you lost it. And ask God for restoration. Okay. And what you see in the dream is to let you know prepare you for a grace that is coming to you, so that when you begin to manifest that, you will know, oh, God has shown me that before. And sometimes it is also for you to know that you have that grace. So why not use it? So be praying for people, and those who see that possess, conduct deliverance for them, and you will confirm whether you have it or not.
All right. God bless you, Chika from Niger State. We have other questions coming in, and this is from Sister Uju from Lagos State, Nigeria. Says, Shalom, sir, and God blessing, sir. Kindly explain clearly to me about internal security, that is once saved, forever saved. I was sharing with a sister, and she quoted Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, and Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 13 to 18.
To do what? To say what?
She didn't state what the person was actually trying to say.
Revelation 3 verse 5
says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my father and before his angels. Probably the person is trying to say names can still be blotted out. Then Ezekiel 33,
yeah,
I believe.
Now, that is Sister Uju from where?
Sister Uju from Lagos State. Yes.
Because of time, yes, once you are saved, forever you are saved. That was the topic we took in our Rapture Watch series last Saturday, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
That's the last Rapture Watch.
Yeah.
We took the topic of eternal security. May I refer you to it so that you will hear it in details. Okay. Yes, but once you are saved, forever you are saved. And I showed all the scriptures, and I proved it to answer proponents of you can lose your salvation. Particularly, we had what I think was among Paul Eneche, Salmon, or one other apostle, Jai or something like that, and many more. We had to reply them, Oyedepo, and all of them. So we proved that they were the ones that were wrong scripturally. So please listen to that message. And if you still have any other problem, please, next Monday, give us a call again and we'll make clarifications. God bless you.
All right, God bless you. We have a caller, Brother Emmanuel from Cameroon, right? Emmanuel, God bless you and shalom.
Yeah. Shalom, shalom.
God bless you. Can go with your question, sir.
My brother.
Shalom, God bless
you. So, I'm an online member. We're having a fellowship in the house. So, I want to ask the offering, and I'm never going to bank to pay money. I'm an illiterate. I don't know how to write or to read. So, I'll be giving my offering. So, we were in the garden in the house, and then people have been coming. So, I was wanting to ask, is it good for me? Because you say, one will pay his tithe to where he's feeding his spiritual that have been fed. So now I want to ask, is it possible for me to take the tithe and the offering that I was keeping, that whoever has made the place to gather the whoever has been gathered in the house?
Yes, Brother Emmanuel, listen, I've corrected it several times. If you already have a fellowship where you gather, tithes and offerings are income into the church to meet the needs of the church. forget those pastors that those covetous pastors that hang on to some quotes of Willie Graham and say that the tithe belongs to the pastor. That's nonsense. They are those are robbers. How can people gather and the tithe belong to one person? You know, it's very annoying to me whenever I hear such things. You know, it's to me the needs
the
of the ministry.
I have, but to me, I'm not a pastor.
I'm explaining something, Brother Emmanuel. What I'm saying is, what you are, the income, once people start to gather, then it becomes, tithe and offering become the income to meet the needs of the church. Because wherever you are gathering, you will soon be looking for your own place of worship. You will increase in number. There may be people that will have one welfare need or the other, hospital bill, emergency hospital bills, and one thing or instruments you will buy, even things you need to print for evangelism, you pay for power bills and things like that. So you will keep them for that purpose. That's what I'm saying. That's the reason. But if you don't have such a fellowship, then wherever you feed from, then you send the offering to, like, if it is Bride Assembly, you send the offering to Bride Assembly. I mean, the tithe, the offering to Bride Assembly. God bless you.
No, thank you very much, sir. The problem is that I've always tried.
No, I believe we lost Brian, man.
We lost that call. Sorry.
Okay, we have another question. This, wow. Well, question number one says, if a sister is in the message with a husband and they are not legally married, right price has not been paid, can she occupy a post in the church like women leader, choir mistress, or lead prayers in the meetings?
Obedience is better than sacrifice. Let them rectify that error first, because it's already an error on them. If you allow them, that means you are encouraging people to stay together without paying bride price. Mm. So certainly, they wouldn't even be thinking of occupying such office when they know the truth. So that question shouldn't even arise. And it's for emphasis. I said, the pastor should be more interested in the soul of the people than the sacrifice and the offerings and the services they offer in the church. If you're a true pastor, put pressure on them until they correct it before you begin to place them in position of offices in the church. And if they are not interested, then they should not be in that fellowship, because they'll be a bad example. It means, see the kind of people you are gathering, it will be wrong. Okay.
All right. Second question. Question two. Someone gave a revelation to a brother that God said he's not helping the wife with house chores and taking care of a child when the child is crying, and it can lead him to hell. The Bible verse back this revelation.
But I'm not the one that said it. Why will you ask me that? You ask the brother now that gave the revelation.
That's my sister Gisele from Cameroon.
You can't go to hell because you did not help your wife with the house chores. You only will not enjoy the marriage, that's all. Because the woman will be protesting. So maybe that's the hell you mean, then that is the hell, that's all.
All right. God bless you, Sister Gisele from Cameroon. You are definitely watching us. We are receiving your questions, and I trust that the answers have been coming. There's a question I wanted to ask, and that is with reference to the topic yesterday, the token, Evidence of Salvation Part 2. And one of it was referring to the token being an evidence of suffering and affliction for Christ's sake.
Oh. Before your question.
Okay. Shalom to the Bride of Christ. My name is Ike Dichuku Emmanuel from Togo. So my question is, can someone that claims to be a believer of your ministry stay in the same room with a lady and is telling me that they are not doing anything? Can it be possible? Is it right? Is it possible to take communion with those people?
I don't know why this
keeps coming.
This same thing, you know, it's wrong, of course, to live together like that. It's wrong. So if the person is told to separate and refuses to separate, it's a bad example to the church. You should not be allowed. It's not about communion. I don't know why they emphasize so much on communion. The emphasis on fellowship. Should he be allowed to fellowship with you? You know, but this emphasis on communion, I don't know why. It's not only communion. You are limiting it to communion so that you'll be collecting the person's tithes and offerings. You too, why should you collect the tithe and offering of such a person? He should not be allowed to fellowship if he doesn't want to correct that error. It's wrong. You know, it's wrong. Yes, I agree. The Bible said you should not even eat with that person. I think it's 1 Corinthians. Let's chapter 6 or chapter 5. Chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 11.
Verse 11 says, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator."
Fornicator. Go.
Okay, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat.
That eat there is communion. You don't fellowship. Communion is actually fellowship also. So you don't fellowship with person. If it's a fornicator. If it's not a fornicator, then separate from that girl. It's a fornicator, John. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Shalom, sir. My name is Stephen Emmanuel from Lion of Tribe of Judah's Ministry, Niger State. I came across the entire message through Bright TV. We believe it and we are in need, so we started our church building last 2 years. Up till now, we have not finished it yet. A man came to us and asked us to write letter of assistance for him. Okay, letter of assistance, rather, for him, that he has a friend that can help us for the building. But the man isn't in our faith. Our question is that can we do so as believers or not? Thank you, sir.
Well, to write letter of assistance to somebody who is not a member of the church, I think that would be wrong.
Okay.
I believe that would be wrong. And may I use this opportunity to tell all pastors, church building is not part of our ministry. That's not part of our call. Therefore, we should not overlay so much emphasis on such projects as if it's an achievement. The essence of a church building is for us to have a comfortable place of worship. And therefore, you take your time and do it. If you're going to live under tent until you finish it, if it takes you 10 years to finish it with the little you have, keep praying and God will bless your people, or they will bring somebody who will come and worship with you and see the need, and then God will touch the heart and give the offering. But to go out and write letters of assistance and seeking money up and down for people to come and build your church, I believe it is wrong, because you will soon be going to a wrong source of getting money for the project. Work within the limit you have. And the cobble that your people are contributing for that project, God will also use it to bless them. As they give towards the progress of the gospel, God will also use that to bless them. So learn to work within the provision God has given you, rather than running outside as if we are called to go and to build the church buildings. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. So I go straight to the questions I was asking concerning the token. They can a token for goods to one who had lived a life persecuting Christians counsel the trouble meant to face such a person later in life?
Sorry, I don't understand. A token for good. They applied on who?
On someone who, a Christian, who used to persecute Christians. Now, because you made a statement, I'm trying to link it with the aspect of...
Let me get the question. Yes.
Okay. Can a token for good to one who had lived a life persecuting Christians counsel the trouble meant to face such a person later in life, being that that person repented from the time... there was a statement you made about judgment must come upon whoever is persecuted.
One thing or the other comes upon... Remember that he persecuted... Like Apostle Paul. I use Apostle Paul.
Yes.
And my emphasis, if you listen to me, you know, I try to let you know that nobody deals with a child of God and goes
through. Yes.
And I said, even after you repent, like Apostle Paul, yeah, you will still pay for it. So what's your question?
So because I was actually looking at the story, the area of Ahab, 1 Kings verse 21, chapter 21 rather, where Ahab did a lot of things. We knew judgment was going to come, but in verse 21, he wore sackcloth and prayed. And the prophet met him and said, deferred the judgment
He did not persecute Israel.
Okay.
It was his own personal life of idolatry that he lived, and eventually, of course, led Israel to also idolatry. He was not persecuting him.
Okay.
So it's not applied to that.
Okay. So thank you for balancing and correcting. All right. Okay. This will be our last question for today. Shalom, sir. My question is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The command of go ye into the world and preach, is it only for the men?
No, it is for all believers to shine the light. You can't have light and put it under the table. You shine it. That's witnessing both men and women. But when, what's the second question, please?
When a female pastor hosts a crusade, Brother Harry from Bayelsa State.
Now, you're already saying pastor, you're talking of crusade. Crusade is for evangelists. A pastor watches over the sheep. We won't leave the sheep and be going to hold crusade up and down. And a woman would not be ordained into that, because that would mean her leaving her home. So who would take care of the responsibilities at home? The responsibilities at home, they are take care of the children, take care of the home, take care of any other thing to assist the man do the duties that are specifically assigned for the man to do, especially the Christian man. So we're talking of ministry, and the work of leadership in the church is for men only, according to the Bible.
All right. God bless you. We'll call it a day here. And thank you so much for being with us all the while. Thank you. Remain blessed. Shalom. And God bless you.